Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoyed this message from our guest speaker.
This is exciting. This is we haven't done this in a long time. It's nice to be able to do this without masks on too, so everybody can see your face, right? And the goal today, we really want to, I'm going to get this mic working. Max, I'll let you just hold that. You know, each of them, as I was thinking about who I wanted to share, this is our plus one, we both encourage you to bring somebody out. We want to hear stories of what God is doing in people's lives and how they came to know the Lord. How many found Dorman's story just beautiful? That was 4 weeks ago. That was awesome. And he couldn't be here today. He was really hoping he could. But you could see how God used his life, his touching his life. And Dorman is Dorman, right? I hold my breath a little bit when Dorman gets up. And I haven't yet contacted the intercessors to pray for me, but every once in a while I'm like, I should just have prayer right now because my heart's beating for him and what he's going to say. But these guys have each had their own journey. What I love about it is really each one is individually unique, their journey in the Lord. And what I also love about it is Dana and Jason are part of our family because of Max's persistence and just wanting to see them come into the kingdom and grow more in the Lord. And so I hope that comes out today a little bit in our story. So I want them to introduce themselves both individually and as a couple. So go ahead, Max, you start.
Yeah, the name is Max Van Horn. I grew up in Chatham, Ontario. And I truly believe that the best things in life, you actually don't find them, they find you. And God had a great plan for me to meet Abigail, and we're in Woodsley now.
And I'm Abigail Paige Van Horn, professionally Paige, socially Van Horn. I grew up here at this church and in this community, and our parents set us up, believe it or not.
My name is Dana Impenspiteri. I'm originally from Leamington, and work brought me to Windsor, and I grew up in a Catholic household with my grandma, who is president of the Catholic Women's League, and my mom, who worked at the church for 29 years. So grew up very Catholic, met Jason about 12 years ago, and we'll get into our journey, what brought us here. But I work at the Catholic School Board right now, as well as an early childhood educator in the kindergarten room.
My name is Jason Spiteri, and I grew up in Windsor, and I too was grown up in a Catholic family. My one aunt in Australia who's a nun, and who comes to visit every 4 years. And my heritage is Maltese, so. In the little island of Malta, there's 366 Catholic churches. So, I mean, you can get the idea, you know, how my parents were. It was very strict on hitting up churches every single week. So, I work at Chrysler. And, Dana said, we met about 12 years ago through Network Marketing Company. And I'm forever grateful for that. So,
let's give it back to Max. Max, I'm going to start with you. And it's interesting that everybody up here, we really have Catholic roots, which is interesting. Abby, for you too, I know that would have been really, 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 really early on, if anything, but not much. No. Family roots Family were Catholic, roots. Yeah. So each of you had a journey with the Lord in some sense. Now, Max, start by sharing yours, because you ended up in Europe even, and God was doing some incredible things chasing you. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey? Because that leads into their journey, right?
Yeah. So I grew up, I can relate with Jason there. Like, it didn't matter what we were doing as a family, played a lot of sports like hockey and soccer. And if we were in a hockey tournament in Toronto or in London, Ontario, like, we were going to church. And there was only like one other kid on my hockey team that was like Dutch Reformed. So sometimes he actually missed like games on Sundays, depending on when they were. But it was just like kind of embarrassing. You know, it was like, no one goes to church. Why do we have to go to church in other cities and everything? But it was a foundation that my parents built us up on. I didn't necessarily know really what a personal relationship with the Lord was, but I knew that he was part of my life. And that was like sowing the seeds. And I think the Lord really calls us into being vulnerable, you know, because there's so many distractions in our life that we can cling to. And for me, I was like hiding myself because I was so uncomfortable in my surroundings, but I could make things work. So I didn't do well in school, pretty well skipped out every day of the week. And it took me forever just to get out of high school. So like meeting Abigail, she skipped grades and like, you know, she skipped grades in college. So I thought like, what are we going to have in common? But I ended up just leaving over to Europe to play hockey. And actually I played goalie my whole entire life. And there was like a lot of politics in the game. So then I ended up going over to Europe with no one really knowing. And I played out and didn't have a resume, never scored a goal, you know, never really got a penalty in the sense of playing out. And all these teams wanted my resume. So I was just like, give me a chance. And I brought the Gideon's Bible with me. So I had the Psalms, the Proverbs, the New Testament. And I'm telling you, like, I devoured that thing because I was so, I couldn't hide anymore. And no one to rely on. And I was afraid. And I felt like a fraud, you know, because I didn't want to, like, what professional hockey team is going to take you under their wing knowing that you play goalie for, like, 15 years, you know? So, I just started reading the Word and recognized that I didn't know anything in it. You know, I couldn't tell anyone any stories. You know, I believed in Jesus, but I didn't have a relationship. And that led me to meet some guys that invited me to a church service. Do you want me to continue?
Or, yeah, it's great.
So I started going. Actually, I would run to Catholic churches because I lived in the Netherlands, Belgium, and Germany. And, you know, the Catholic Church is universal. So wherever you go, they're kind of similar. So I'd run to the church, and I'd go to church services. I wouldn't understand the language, but because there's that formality of the Catholic Church, it gave me some comfort. And then I got asked to go to a church service in a really small community, actually a church kind of like this. Like, it was not a church building. It was like a building that was built up on whatever. It just wasn't a church setting. And there was they had earphones. Like, it was actually it was translated from Dutch to English. And I remember the last part of the service, the pastor got up there and said, like, you know, if you want to stand up for Jesus, it's time to stand up. And, like, all I ever wanted to do for the Lord, ever, I was like, I even visualized me, you know, in front of people that were, you know, had, like, knives in their hands or a gun to my head to say, do you believe in Jesus? And I wanted to be able to, in that moment, be able to say, yeah. But I couldn't. I couldn't stand up. I was, like, in shackles. And anyway, I went two more services. I met this really nice couple, and they told me, said, Max, you know, if you stand up next week, our son is going to be dedicated to the Lord next week. And I just said, whatever I have to do, if I have to roll up to the front, like, I'm rolling up to the front. And I was just thinking about this, like, the last couple of weeks, and I realized there actually were daggers to my throat. There actually were guns spiritually. You know, there was a noose around my neck that I was carrying around with me because I didn't know what a Christian life really was about. And the fact that Jesus set me free, I didn't really know what I did that weekend because he took me through a long, long journey. But I stood up for Christ in that moment, and that was the beginning of my journey.
That's so good. Let's just celebrate that. Isn't that good? You know, I want to add, as we sit here, it's amazing. You know, sometimes it's easy because we're charismatic Christians, and we can look, you know, down at another religion, and yet as you're speaking, and I'm going to probably feel all the way through what God was doing in those moments. So you're imagining things, and you're not even fully walking with the Lord yet, just you know about him. I think of Krista, my wife, who as a young girl was giving communion to her dolls, you know, what God can be doing in us. And I know it sounds silly, but God was already doing things in us. You know, that would be the same for my mom and Claude and all these different ones. So point being, we got to be really careful. We don't know what God's talking to people about, right? So Abby, tell us a little bit about your story, but also how this, you know, meeting Max and how this has been walking out all this.
Okay, well, I feel like my story is much more like vanilla or whatever you want to say. I grew up in the church, and, like, thank God I did. had so many like coming to God moments. It's hard for me to say like this was the one moment that like stands out above the rest. I guess to share a story that I only vaguely remember, I would have been like a 3 or 4 or 5. I don't know, my parents would know better. But we were at home and getting ready for bed, and just like the presence of God just fell, and I was like running around like the Holy Spirit was there kind of thing. And again, I don't know if I remember it or if I remember it more from stories my parents telling me, but so I've been so blessed to have these amazing encounters with God, and you know, as a kid and then with youth group and how powerful that was growing up for me. So I did great in school. I went to dental school, and when I was done dental school, my parents went out to dinner with Max's parents. They've been friends since grade 6. My dad showed my picture and gave my number. Yeah, I know, right? I had told them before that I would trust them to set me up. I did tell them that. Not long after, actually, it had been a couple weeks till we got in touch, but like his mom broke a tooth and was in the office and just all these things. It was like, no, you have to call Abby. And that was 2015 that happened. And and ever since then, I mean, Max started coming to church around Christmas that time. And it's been a growth in both our lives because we're like opposite ends of the spectrum in most things in life. And so,
yeah, because he said he skipped class, you skip grades.
Yeah. That's just like one thing we're opposite with. But it's good because it really has challenged my mindset and like my view on maybe not just like in church, but in life in general. Like, why do I think certain ways? Or yeah, so it's been amazing for me. It's really, and then his passion, because growing up in the church, you know, it is easy to just have it be, I don't want to say like mundane, but like it can get like routine, right? So seeing Max and his passion, like, oh yeah, you're reading your Bible every day. That's right. That's important to do, you know? So just things like that encourages me all the time. Yeah. That's
awesome. I remember, I had the privilege of you being at our school, our Christian school, and I can't tell you exactly the time frame or anything, but I remember you going through a blip of just difficulty, but it was so quick. And I remember you making it. I just knew you had made a decision to go, yeah, I'm all in. Yeah. And you never said that to me or anything, but I just remember she's doing well, and then she's struggling, but it was so quick. And then I remember you became solid.
And watch your friends.
Watch your friends. That's you know, it's interesting because I wrote that down, one of those things. Why do you say that?
That was my blip.
That was your
blip. Watch your friends.
Because they steered you away for
I was frustrated with, you know, I had rights to be frustrated, right? But I saw what they were doing to kind of get attention and to get their frustrations known. And I thought, well, if that makes people mad, then I'll do that too.
Boy, that's good. We could get you out to youth ministry for that one. All right. We'll come back to you guys. But Dana, you got a cool story too, because you had a real believing, was it grandma? Yeah. You have her Bible too, don't you?
Yeah. It's hard to talk about because
you have to just bring it a little closer.
Just today, we were singing this song during worship, and there were words that said, Jesus loves me, this I know. And she sang that to me from the time I was a baby, and I still remember that song. She sang it to me every single day. And at the time that my grandmother brought me to my first healing mass, I had curvature of the spine. I must have been maybe almost 8, curvature of the spine. So when you talked about it back, I just started praying because I saw healing that day. That day, a woman sought me out and told my grandmother, I see baby Jesus above her head. Can I pray for her? And all I felt was heat down my back. And when I went to the doctor the next time, I was completely healed.
Come on.
Yes.
That's
good. I've never had to have surgery. The back pain was gone. It was a miracle. And I felt that today.
Look at that.
Yeah.
How cool is that? Now, Shane, you've never sang that here anyway. I'm like,
I've never
look
heard
at the
that.
Pieces. That is so cool. So cool.
Yeah.
So she was a real believer. And am I correct? You have her Bible now?
Yes. She was like just the president of the Catholic Women's League, but yet still she had a desire to know and have a personal relationship with the Lord more. And so she would go to these other churches that I remember going to one time, and I'm like, this is so different than where we go on Sunday. And I was young at the time, and we didn't go all the time, but she would go and step out. Her son became a pastor later on in life, and so we would go to his church. And I remember at that point in time, I knew I was longing for something like that. But I didn't feel the Holy Spirit at that time. But it was when Jason and I, we went through a loss. We lost our first baby. I went into preterm labor, and we lost him. And I remember going through that with him, and I just felt like I felt guilt. I felt a lot of shame. I felt like I must have brought this on. It was my fault because of things that I had done in my past, and I carried so much guilt around. Sorry. Okay. And Jason and I went to church every Sunday, and we were blessed with two beautiful children now. And I remember going and always longing for, I had a feeling, and we would go to church, and I would once again not have that feeling. And I would say to him, I just want something more. I don't know what it is, but I want something more. I knew Max, and I would see him on a regular basis on Saturdays at our meetings. And I remember him asking me on more than one occasion if I wanted to come out to church with him on Sunday. And I remember every time I said, oh, not this Sunday, Max. Not this Sunday, Max. But we'll come one day. And I kept saying that. And then one day we were there, and I said, you know what, Max? Yeah, we're going to come out this Sunday. And I didn't tell my husband where. It's a little bit of a drive. And it wasn't the Catholic Church, and I knew how strongly he felt about his faith, and especially his parents as well. So I didn't tell him, but I told him we were going to go and check out this church. We're going to go with Max. And he knew how I had felt about wanting something more. And I was just so grateful, because the day that we came, I had just the most overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit that filled me so much that I was doing the same thing. It was coming out through my eyes, crying. I've never felt that. And I had went to church my whole life. I thought I knew God. I thought I was doing what you were told to do. I thought I was doing what was right. I was trying to be a good person and faithful, and I had never felt that. And that day, I told Jason, I had felt so much relief. I felt so much grace. I felt so much, everything that I had been keeping in from when we had our loss, I felt was gone. It was completely gone. And I'm so grateful to Max for continuing to ask. Was never pushy, he was persistent. And that was, he just kept putting those seeds, and eventually it got us here. And today, when the word was spoke about that train that you're going on, I pictured our whole family waving at you from outside, because you let us here, and I'm forever grateful.
That's awesome. Come on, that's so good. I'm learning things that I had no clue about. That's amazing. So, Jason, tell us the part for you, because Your wife's telling you you're going to a church. You know,
that's I too had an overwhelming presence, but it, it was a little like different. As graceful as she was. When you're driving, I'm from LaSalle. We're from LaSalle now, so like it's not like a hop skip over like my old church. We went from like a 3-minute drive to about 20. So I kept driving. Where are we going? And it's like, don't worry, just keep driving.
Like, and then we're in like
we
the middle
to Toronto,
of nowhere.
Where are we going? Like, it's like, are you sure we're going to church? Like, it was crazy. So I just, she's like, make a left, make a right, another 5 more miles. It's like, where are we? Whatever. We got there. I'm like, okay.
Sounds like your journey in the Lord too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So tell us what it was like for you, this journey.
I was really nervous. I trust Max with all my heart because I knew Max, and like I said, network marketing, he's got a heart of gold. But he didn't know my parents, unfortunately. So I had a lot of pressure in the past of it's the Catholic way, and that's the only best way, right? Like, that's the best way to know God, according to my parents. So, I mean, I grew up with that. I don't want to call it brainwashed, because that's a bad word, I think, I guess. But that's all I knew. So, you know, looking at different ways was always frowned upon or looked down upon, because that's not our way of doing things. So, for me, this was a challenge to get here. Not physically, but mentally too. So I didn't know what to expect. And like her, I had a similar reaction. I'm like, wow, this is different. Is this not the regular church? Where's the altar? Where is everything? Why do we have people up in the front? That's frowned upon in normal churches. Like, everybody's out in the front. I'm like, this is like
the guy with electric guitar. What's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, like there's a full concert. I'm like, what the heck? This is, are you sure we're at church? I seen the cross there. That was beautiful. I'm like, okay, so there's no Jesus, nothing. It was just that. And I'm like, okay, all right. Well, we're at a church, I think. It's that or a Christian concert. I don't know. Like, they might have tricked me. I'm not sure yet, but we're gonna ride this train out, okay? So I see people talking in languages and tongues, and I'm like, oh boy, what is happening right now? Like, people are not even speaking English anymore. I have no idea what's happening, but, you know, like, people are raising their arms up in the air, and I'm like, you know, and what hit me was, you called us out, and we were sitting in the second row with Max and Abby, I'll never forget, we were sitting right there, and, you called us out, you pointed out to Dana, and you said, you're new here. Like, it was in the middle of your eulogy, and I was like, oh, here we go.
Not a eulogy.
Well, what is it? I'm still new.
I don't think anybody was dying.
Not eulogy. I always called it that.
It's good. That's what I love about Jason. He'd have to be like, he uses parishioners. I'm like, I love you, man.
Yeah, yeah. I have a new language. Yeah. My friend's got like a list of all my words. Anyway, I thought, oh boy, here it comes. Like, you're calling us out. And I thought, oh boy, here it is. And then you prophesied over her, which is, again, something I never heard of. And I thought you were like a witch doctor, because you called it out to a T. You said you're going to go through changes. And we knew. I'm like, somebody, Max maybe told him something. I don't know. But it felt like a setup, because it was so accurate. You said you were going to go through some changes, a lot of changes.
Yes, you said that I was going to go through some changes and that the Lord was going to be with me. And I was going the next week for a hysterectomy. And that was really just...
And we were planning on changing the team name.
It was
as well.
Just a whole lot of changes happening right at that moment. And I'm like, he's speaking to just me saying this. To just me. And I remember him going, the hair on my arm is standing up.
And you changed your job.
Yeah, it was just, it was all the changes.
We changed the house.
Yeah.
So it was like all changes that year. And it was like,
how does he know?
And then it was, that kind of hit me hard, because I was like, wow, how did he know that? And then I remember you saying, well, it was the Holy Spirit talking through me. It wasn't me. And I'm like, wow, I want to be like that. That would be cool, you know? And so I didn't think it was possible, but at that time. But then the following week, Dorman talked to me and he prophesied over me and he nailed it too. And I'm like, wow, this is cool. I never got this feeling at our church, you know, like this is a different experience, but I like it. And I was very attracted to all the people, just so open arms and family oriented. And my journey since then, I got kind of addicted to all your events. And I just did something that I never done before, was just go through all the events. Like, let's just do this and submerge myself into it. And every time I had a new experience and I got to know people and everybody, like you see one of me, but really like I'm like a compilation of a lot of people. Some of them are in the crowd. I see your faces, but you don't even know. You played a huge part in this whole journey with me through Antioch. But I'm so forever grateful.
Sorry. That's amazing.
I just wanted to say, like, and for him too, and I know that he's not going to say it, but he's been really faithful in this because it has not been hard with his parents. It's not been easy, sorry. The things that are said about where we bring our kids and where we go every Sunday and not being at the Catholic Church. So it's been a hard, I know, for him to hear those things. But he's so confident in the relationship that he has with the Lord now that he's able to stand firm when they're saying these things. And I'm so proud of him for that.
And come on, let's just encourage it. Yeah. That's awesome. Well done, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've actually seen some breakthrough at times where we stand convicted in what we believe and what we felt. And it's hard because I often try to say to him, you know, you have to be patient with them because they've not felt what we've felt and they've not experienced what we've experienced. So it's hard for them to understand what we're, I tell them it's like childbirth. People told me what it was going to be like. It was not like what they told me. It was not until I went through it did I know. And I said, I feel like it's the same thing. They just don't know what they don't know. And our eyes were open, so we can't go back to that other way of thinking. And so I just wanted to say that I'm very proud of him.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's so funny because then when we went back to my old church, it felt very dry. It wasn't, I didn't see it in the same colors like I did before. It was like, I constantly have to tell my kids, shh, shh, shh. And here you just, yeah, sing, go nuts, go in the front. Like, and they love it. I love seeing Juliet dancing and everything, and you're free. And then you go to a Catholic church, and it was like, you got to be quiet. And it's like, we don't do that at the other church. I'm like, I know, but this one, you got to be quiet. Like, and it was frustrating, and I wasn't getting the message. And then I came here, and I started learning, and, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And it was sheer embarrassment, to be quite frank. I'm 40 years old. I go to church every week, and yet I don't even know the Lord really like I thought I did. And that's what triggered everything, was like I did Alpha. I learned a lot from Stephen. Thank you, Stephen, and Christine. And there's so many. That was really cool experience. And I looked forward to Saturday mornings doing that. That was so fun. And then we did healing. We went to healing prayer. And that was amazing in itself. And I just got really addicted to the Bible study. Claude opened his house to us. I did that. That one was an amazing experience as well. And he introduced me to the Bible app, which got me into doing devotionals, which I never heard of before. But, you know, it had all the topics that I was really weak on. And then whatever it was, I just grabbed the topic and did it. And then I was doing morning prayers and emails. And then Brandy introduced me to podcasts. You see how, like, everybody built me up.
And what I love about your stories is just hearing the men, you know, because often it's the women that will carry things. but to hear that they saw your devotions every day.
Yeah.
And how awesome that is. Jason, tell us, without using names, because I want to be sensitive, but you had an experience where really the Lord used you for the sake of literally the life of a friend.
Oh, yeah.
But just don't use names. I want to, but
no. Nope.
Because was that the first time you really felt?
Yeah. That was so amazing to experience. I had a friend, a very close friend of mine. He went through a hard time. It was just before COVID happened. And I was going through this growth and journey as well. But he came to my house and he had, he wasn't married by law, like common law. But they've been together forever. Like, this was a powerful couple that I never thought would ever think about breaking up. And, you know, he came to our house and said that, you know, she threw me out, blah, blah, blah. He had they've been going through some hard times and really hard times. I never seen him in that state of mind before, so broken. And he slept over our house a few days to kind of recollect his things, because she literally, like, kicked him out that night. He called me at, 11:15 at night on a Saturday and said, "Are you up? I need to come over." And so I'm like, "Yeah, sure, come over." I had no idea what he was. I knew something was up because I wasn't like him. But so I introduced him to the Bible and, you know, he was Roman Catholic as well, but not consistent like I was. But it got to a point where I had got him to start doing devotionals as well and everything. And then, he moved back out onto his mother's place. And then I didn't hear from him. I would talk to him every day, trying to keep him perked up and, you know, his spirits high. But then it got to a point where it was like 3-4 days I didn't hear from him. And I got nervous. And then he called me and he said, I almost killed myself tonight. I was literally on a ladder. I had a noose in the garage and I was ready to take the plunge. And he said, I don't know what it was, but he said, Christ, if I'm not ready to do this, and if you're real, I want to hear from my wife, we'll call her, in the next minute, within the next minute, or else I'm doing this. And it wasn't 30 seconds later, he got a text from her saying, it wasn't a good text, but it was just hearing from her was enough for him, because he hasn't heard from her from like 2 weeks. So it wasn't a good text, but he just was like freaked out that he knew that was the only thing he needed to see was anything. And he got off the ladder and, they're back together again. And he found
God. Celebrate that. That's good.
Yeah.
And you've been encouraging
him. I invited him over to our church, and he loved our church, by the way. And his wife also was close friends to another pastor, so they go to the one off of the expressway there.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. So, it got him off that ladder, and I was so thrilled. He thanked me so much for, you know, just introducing them back to the Lord in a different way. And that was very special.
Awesome.
Very special.
Very cool. I'll pass the mic back. So, let's see what time. This is such good stuff. We're already over, but how has your life changed, Max and Abby? It's really both of you, but, you know, since coming to the Lord, I remember the day that you've kind of done everything in this church, because you even asked Abby to marry you in this church, literally after a service. How has your life changed? What's different?
I think for me, I was hoping that life would be easy. Like, it's actually so tired, you know, and, you know, I back to, like, being vulnerable. You know, I think we build a life for comfort, and you don't find God in that room. And so I think he's constantly calling me to trust in him, because that's when I can actually be authentic. You know, if I pre-plan everything in my life, and I still need to do that because I need to get more organized and stuff. But I mean, just in the sense of actually operating from integrity, being a true child of God, you know, I think it was you, Abby, this last week. It's like, you know, you wear the name Christian, but you try to map it out for yourself. And it's like, how can he be found in the substance of who you are if you're not trusting? You know, like, the whole call of God is to trust and to hear his voice and actually to run after him. And it's like, I think being a Christian, you're always, like, young. You're always finding ways how to, you know, go to new levels that you can't go on your own. So I think, I mean, I'm still a baby in regards to actually knowing the Lord. But, you know, he's unlocking new doors in his house that he wants me to see, and new gifts that he has already inside of me, but he's asking me to trust. So I think for me, it's, my life has changed in the sense that, you know, I don't deserve really anything that I have. Like, Abby, she came into my life through, like, praying and, like, and at that point, not even really knowing the Lord as well as maybe as I should, or as I do now. But yeah, I think it's, I don't really know if I'm answering your question, but
that's good.
Yeah, just being vulnerable, learning how to be vulnerable.
And you know what I love about the two of you, really, is that I love how naturally you tell people about Jesus. It's just something you do. It's in you. It's in your DNA. Anything you can share, you know, because you drive a bus and you get to be with kids. Your heart bursts for kids, and I love it. But you just do it every day. Do you have any story, a story you want to share? Because I know you've had some great moments.
Yeah, I mean, like, every single day, these kids, like, I tell them, I'm like, I don't do this for the money, to be honest with you. But, I mean, maybe I should be paid more because I'm looking after these lives. But, well, I just told them, like, I actually really care about you kids, you know? Like, but, yeah, like, I bought a little, like, a Bible for kids and stuff. And, you know, every day, kids were saying, can I have the Bible? Can I have the Bible? When they would get on the bus and they'd be fighting for the Bible. And then this past year, they haven't been doing it as much. So I have, like, probably 7-8 minutes before, like, the big kids get on the bus. So I got all the JKs and SKs on the bus. And, like, I was, like, asking them, if you want me to tell you a story. Do you know about Noah? Do you know where the rainbow comes from? You know, all these things that you don't know what kids are being taught, you know. So, yeah, and they're sitting up front, first couple of seats. They're all piled into the seats, and their eyes are big, and I'm being dramatic with them and stuff. But every day I make a point to, I pray daily with a kid. There's a kid in my, he's grade two, and he said that his dad's friend had cancer and that he was going to die. And I said, well, let's pray. And he looked at me kind of like, oh, like, what are you? And the one kid behind me was like, you should be a priest. I was like, well, no, not quite. But yeah, so I think it's just, again, being the person. Instead of just telling people what to do, it's like, be authentic. And that's what God's really calling me to be, at least for kids.
So what I love about that is, so often, right, we always think we got to be a priest, a minister, a pastor, and yet you are sharing the kingdom every day to people that we may never get a chance to, right? Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So good. Man, yeah, that's so awesome. So maybe a twist on this question, Abby. And you've already shared into it a little bit because you were raised in the church. And I love what you said. It becomes, unfortunately, so familiar to us. Mm-hmm. Watching maybe Max and even hearing Jason, how has that stirred you on? Like, you already said about reading your Bible. Anything else that you're like, oh, this freshness reminds me?
So our families have been through quite a lot the last 2 years, like both my family and Max's family. And watching Max and actually his sister Megan is really, like, again, grew up Catholic, but then just dove in to seek God. It really kind of put a fresh perspective. And even, like, I would listen to podcasts, but listening to more podcasts while I'm driving. And I've always had worship music on, but, you know, actually worshiping when it's on and not just like listening to it. So all those things, like the last couple of years, have given me a really good fresh perspective and just kind of diving in and like seeking God. Motherhood's been definitely a huge change in how that looks, because things that I just had time to do, you know, I could put my earphones in and listen to podcasts all day, and like I can't do that anymore. But it also puts a new drive in me, because I want him to know God and I want him to be a world changer. I want to raise world changers. I don't want to, you know, just, you know, do my, you know, he's just another kid, another person in this society. I want to raise a world changer. And I know that that's through Christ alone. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That's good. Thank you. Dana, how has things changed for you? It's been a couple years now. Right, since coming.
It has been. I love to worship. I worship at home with the kids. I worship in my car. I'll get to work. I'll have my makeup done. I get to work. It was nice when we had masks. I'd get to work, and people wouldn't know that I was crying the whole way to work, praying for someone, you know, that I just wanted to see a miracle for, and just praying and worshiping. And one thing that I was able to bring to, you talk a lot about speaking life into to our children, and I work in a kindergarten room. And last year I was, I had a teaching partner, and just last week she sent me a picture of something that she was doing with the kids that I started last year. And each one of our children, we would have them, we called it a build them up hot seat, and we'd have them sit at the front of the room with these noise canceling headphones. And we'd have a chart paper, and while they had their noise-canceling headphones, each one of the other children came up and would whisper to me on something special about that child, and I would write it down. And they would, at the end, we would read it to them, videotape it, send it to their parents, and their faces were beaming that their friends thought. And it could be something simple. They're a fast runner, you know. They're kind. They help me. They, and so she's doing it at her school, and we just started it at the new school that I'm at. So it's nice to be able to see that continue. But I did want to just say one thing, if I can, because I feel like I would do injustice if I didn't say this today. But the past few weeks, I had been dealing with a heart issue, pericarditis. And I was having a lot of pain. It was very scary. And there were several people here who were praying for me. And I just wanted to let those people know that this week I went to see the internal medicine doctor, the specialist, and he said he wanted to sit in while I had my heart ultrasound. And they were looking for the fluid around my heart and the inflammation. And I was supposed to step on the treadmill to do a stress test. And he said, we don't need to do that. There's nothing there. So that was just this past week. And I thank you for your prayers. I felt them. And thank you, Lord, for that healing. So I just had to say that.
We're glad you did. That's amazing. What about for you, Jason? Just we're going to wrap things up. Yep. But what has changed for you?
I don't even know where to start. This church has it's changed my whole life. I've never prayed so much in my life. And the amazing friends that I have now today through this parish, you can't buy that anywhere. And I'm so grateful for you and Krista and Pastor Ron and your parents, obviously. And just, wow. I got to do some of the things that I never thought I would be able to do. You know, I prophesized a couple times over a couple people at work, and it worked. And it was like, wow,
it worked! It worked.
And, you know, it's just been an incredible journey, and I feel so brand new, refreshed. And I'm so glad, because I didn't want to be the old guy for my kids that I used to be. And I still work on myself. I'm not 100% every day, but at least I can recognize the flaw and stop myself before it got to that old extreme, right? And I've just gotten so much more grace now with my children and patience. I was just so bad at patience. My gosh.
Your wife is agreeing with you quite profusely.
Yes. I just
very she's agreeing bad. In the change, which is good. So.
The change has been a great change, and I just love everybody now. Like, I love my enemies at work. Like, I've had people, you know, bullying me and stuff, and I love them. I pray for them. And, you know, I wouldn't have done that before. I would have, I would have blessed them another way, but, now I just love everybody. I feel it in my heart.
That's awesome.
And feeling the Holy Spirit now, it's, you can't explain that, right? Like when you, and I get that in this church where some days I'll feel it and then you guys will say, or maybe Pastor Rob will say, wow, the air is really thick. And I'm like, yeah, I feel that. Mm. And it just that conviction of, I only felt that once, twice in my life before, feeling the Holy Spirit, which I didn't even know it was at the time until reminiscing now. Like,
wow.
And that was when I met Pope John Paul II and when I went to Lourdes, France. That was the only time, those two times where I just cried and I didn't know why.
Wow.
And I was very overwhelmed with joy. And just, that was weird at that time, but I was 12. So now it makes sense what I was feeling that those days. So it's just,
I love the fact that God was moving on you guys at a young age and didn't even know it. Yeah. It's so amazing.
I just feel like it's just starting. Life is just starting again.
It's because we're young.
Brand new. Yeah, we're young.
Max, I'm going to put you on the spot. We're just going to wrap this up. I'm going to let you close it, Max. So if you have anybody here that's just that's new, that's wondering, that's on a journey, that doesn't know anything, what would you tell them from what you've experienced of kind of going on this journey with the Lord?
You know, I'd just say, you know, like that vulnerable feeling, that feeling of fear, it's probably the greatest thing for you. You know, don't think you have to be perfect. That's not what this life is about. You know, we have all these things that we go after in life, and we have all these certificates that we can go after, which is beautiful. But God doesn't want that. He doesn't even care about that. You know, he put things inside you that are for other people. And if you just are willing to step out into a place of fear, he'll show up. He loves you guys so much. And like, just think about this. Your fingerprint has never, ever been here before. And it will never be here again. You guys are so unique. And the Lord loves you like crazy. Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you guys for being willing to share your story. That's awesome. And I think everybody enjoyed that. But I'm learning as you guys are sharing, because it's so easy to assume, to, you know, this church or that church. But isn't it amazing to see how God was working throughout their life? And I want to share this with you just to close with Max, what Max was saying. If you're here, you know, we so often want to jump to have people go, hey, man, you got to say a prayer and accept the Lord. I am learning more that it's less about the, hey, you got to say a prayer, and it's more about the, let's go on a journey. Because didn't Jesus do that with the disciples? He said, come, follow me. And at some point, I think each of the disciples really felt like, hey, I am actually now following the Messiah, and I understand that. And I bet it happened for each of them at different times. And so if you're here today, like Max was saying, just you take that step of faith and be vulnerable and say, I really want to go on a journey with God. I don't know what it's going to look like, but some of the things you guys shared, you know, reading your Bible, podcasts, what a blessing that we have today. So many things at our fingertips. The Bible app has, you know, it's the YouVersion Bible app, has so many different devotionals you can do. Worship music, you got Apple or Spotify, you can get anything you want anytime. So I encourage you, say, I'm going to go on a journey with God and step out in faith. There are a lot of people here. If somebody brought you, I am sure that they can tell you more about the Lord. And they're always open to have a conversation or a coffee. These are a crew that love to do that. So, amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for their stories and how many cool testimonies in the midst of that, right? So, Lord, we thank you for that and what you're doing in the four of their lives. And we just pray, Lord, if somebody's here today and doesn't know you, that they would at least say, Lord, I want to go on a journey. I want to go on a journey with you. And Lord, they would say yes to that journey of following after you. We thank you for their stories. I pray you'd bless them, cover them, protect them as they go. Everyone here, but Lord, even as they become vulnerable, would you just hide them over the next few days that the enemy wouldn't come and lie to them and mess them, their thoughts up, how he likes to do that, and just protect them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.